Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the Sixth Man Show, an Orlando Magic podcast, with your hosts, Luke Sylvia and Jonathan Osborne, covering all things Magic basketball. By fans, for fans. Go Magic! What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? You guys are back with the Sixth Man Show. Today is March 23rd, 2023. Jonathan Osborne, as always, joined by my co-host, Luke Sylvia. What's up, Luke?
Oh, I feel great. I feel vindicated. The game the Magic had most recently, as you guys know, against the Wizards. I feel vindicated because one of my favorite players had the best game of all, of everybody on the court last night in a Magic uniform. So I feel good. I feel pretty good about it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Your favorite player. I'm going back to look at the stats here. Who are we referring to? Gary Harris?
Gary. I say favorite.
So no more Wen Daddy.
Well, he's just one of my favorite, and I've just seen a lot of, you know, some disrespect on Twitter about Gary. You know, yes, well, we wish he was more volume shooter, but that's not his role right now because he's freaking the fifth option. So, you know, but it did show you what happens when you get a shooter, a guy that's hitting, what it does for the offense. Man, I feel good about Gary Harris after last night. He's a stud, man.
We'll talk more about that game in a bit, but yeah, it would be very good for the Magic to get more shooting. I don't think that's a secret to anybody, mm-hmm. But it does show you just like the way, to your credit, you know, the way that 3-point shooting can swing a game. And we've seen the Magic just on the other end of that far too often this season. Wanted to really quickly give a shout out to our friends over at FOCO. So if you follow us on Instagram, I posted a video a couple weeks back of all of the different FOCO figures that I have. So FOCO, I guess a few years ago, they were known as Forever Collections. So if you've ever seen the bobblehead of Aaron Gordon doing the chair in the air dunk over stuff like that bobblehead, I've posted that a couple of times over the years. I got that from FOCO. Now they've done a Franz Wagner, like rookie series bobblehead last year. They've done Cole Anthony, a city edition the last couple of years. This year, they're doing another rookie series, but this time it is Paolo Banchero. And if you haven't seen this, you can go to our Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. So right at the top of our Twitter page there, you'll be able to see that. They're only, I think, doing 72. So it is a super limited run of these bobbleheads, and they're available for pre-order now. So if you're interested in that, you want to see that, you want to pre-order your own, I've got one coming for me. I think Kevin is getting one as well. So yeah, if you guys are interested in that, go ahead and go to our Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. You can see that. You can order your very own FOCO Paolo bobblehead that is coming. And sometimes with these bobbleheads, Luke, it's like, it kind of looks like the guy. It doesn't really look like the guy. Like, this looks exactly like Paolo. I think they did a really nice job with it.
Yeah, it looks sick. Yeah, like you said, you can go pre-order. It looks like I'm on the link right now. It looks like it's about $70. And yeah, and I was looking at it obviously recently too. Yeah, it looks clean. It looks really good. What's that say on the back? Does it say star rookie or something like that.
Yeah, star rookie. It says 2022 NBA draft first round pick Paolo Banchero, number 5 Orlando Magic. It's just it's really really sick looking. I mean, $70 you might think is a little bit steep for a bobblehead, like for a collectible, which it is. But when you get the this in your hand and you see the quality of it, like I have another one. It is Penny Hardaway, and like the backdrop is Penny Hardaway on like the Slam magazine cover back in the day. And like the quality of it, every time I get one of these, I'm like, these things are, they're heavy, first
that
of all.
Sick.
And they're just really well made. So make sure that you guys go ahead and get yours.
Yeah, that Penny one is so sick, dude.
Sold out, by the way. So y'all can't get it anymore. Out.
That's so sick. I'm looking at the background. I love the Slam magazine background. Yeah, they do a really good job, man.
Yeah. So again, go to our Twitter. You can see the pinned tweet there and pre-order yours today. Let's get into the state of the Magic. So the Magic so far are 1-0 on the week, bringing them to a record of 30-43 on the year. They hit 30 wins, Luke. They still have the 5th worst record in the league. They are 13th in the Eastern Conference. They are 5 games back now of Chicago for the final play-in spot. They are 2.5 games back of Indiana sitting at 11. They are 2.5 games back of Indiana sitting at 12. They have an offensive rating on the season of 111.7, which ranks 26th in the league. They have a defensive rating of 114.1, which ranks 19th in the league. Their overall net rating is negative 2.5, which is 25th in the league. Looking at the injury report, Jonathan Isaac still out. He's going to be out for the season with the left adductor tear and surgery. Jalen Suggs will miss his 4th straight game Thursday versus the New York Knicks due to a concussion. No update on when we can expect him to return with the concussion. Would expect that to be relatively soon. He's been out about a week now, so hopefully he's doing okay and we'll see him back sooner rather than later. Jonathan Isaac, I think Tuesday night against the Wizards, Luke, I think that was the first time we've seen him back on the bench since the injury a few weeks ago. And he's not running around, he's not jumping up and down or anything, but you see him on the bench, like getting up and like walking around a little bit. He seems to be walking okay, which like the adductor is like pretty close to the groin. So like 3 weeks after that surgery to be walking around without any kind of super noticeable limp, I think is a good sign. Still too early to really look too deeply into that. But hopefully we start to hear some Jonathan Isaac updates as we get into the offseason, and hopefully he'll be ready for the regular season come next fall. And today, as you all are listening to this on March 23rd, as the Magic are getting ready to take on the New York Knicks tonight, don't forget tonight, Dennis Scott is being inducted into the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame. That ceremony will take place pregame. But again, just super excited for Dennis Scott. Well-deserved. And I actually was on the Knicks Film School podcast that Luke was on earlier in the year. I think, was that February, Luke, that you did that about a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
So I went on it this time to do like a little preview of Thursday's matchup. And we were talking, I know that you talked to Andrew Claudio as well, but just talking about, you know, the Magic retiring jerseys. And it's about time the Magic start retiring jerseys. I know we've said that a ton. I don't know that I would say Dennis Scott's jersey needs to be retired. But again, glad that he's going into the Orlando Magic Hall of Fame. And hopefully the Magic just continue to honor our past players and hang some jerseys in the rafters eventually. Want to give a quick shout out to our patrons, the folks that help financially support the show. If you're interested in becoming one of our patrons, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow. A special shout out to all of our brand new patrons. And this week we have a new patron, Only Franz, joined at our Hall of Fame tier. So Only Franz, welcome to the Patreon community. Make sure that you join our Discord so that you can hang out and talk to Magic fans all day, every day. And then we also shout out all of our Hall of Fame tier and Elite tier patrons on every episode. So we'll start with Court Cousins, Drew Gooden, Armin, Carson Tulo, Normal, Magic Player History, Julio, Gabe Gaines, Wiffle, Michael Martin, Jamel Miller, Michael Salopong, The Distract, Donkey Punch Dave, It's Not OKK to Say Okiki, Pierre A, Migzor's Nostalgia and M&M's, Dylan Holden, Mr. Mikey, Lil Penny, Eduardo Sanchez, Drum, Dan Mull, Dotto 15, Bobby Skinner, Goaty 93, Teddy Sylvia, Eric Lopez, Fuchsia, Juan Giraldo, Bill Fulton, Edmund Lagone, Jose Esquilin, Destined for Greatness, Caleb Pete, Cannibalism, Ty Mr. TV, Joe Rothfuss, ESPN Really Sucks, Gear 95 Shred, Junior Baruse, Half Recon, Shahin 177, Bulby the Don, Himlo Ban Himro, RImprov 221, Ray Pastrana, Magic Kid 714, Let's Spank Don't Tank, Soft Taco, Jesse, Fuego Nando, Phantom Wolf 72, Irish Magic Mike, Austin Lampy, Random Hustle, Bulbul, his first name is his last name, and again, only Franz. A big shout out to all of our patrons, and if you would like to become a patron and help support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thesixmanshow.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Reading that list, I think I've said enough to last the entire podcast episode. Luke, what did you think of the Wizards game Tuesday night?
Just, I was really impressed by the, everybody played super well. I don't think that there were, you know, you had seven guys in double digits in this one. The only player on the Wizards who really posed a threat to you was Kristaps Porzingis. He is absurd, man. And I think that every time we play against him, he's obviously gigantic. And if he has someone on you, there was times where he had Cole on him. He had Markel got switched on to him. You knew that he was going to, it was just a warm up mid-range jumper for him because he doesn't even see them. And it just felt like every time he shot the ball from the mid-range over a shorter defender, it was going to go in. So I would say that was the most frustrating part about that game. But I really think, you know, there was a statement made from some of these guys, specifically one in particular, and that was Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner in 14 minutes, 15 points, added three rebounds, but it was mainly obviously his scoring, which is what you've missed with Goga kind of taking up minutes from him. But Mo provides a spark, and he did that last night, and I think that he was definitely one of the unsung heroes last night. Got to the free throw line, shot 4 free throws, made all of them. Just a really good job by him last night, and I think that that stuck out to me a lot. And then Gary Harris, 6 of 9 from three, career high for three-pointers made in a game. And I tweeted this last night early on in the game, Jonathan. He had just maybe it was a quick deflection or something of that nature. And I just tweeted out and I just said, Gary Harris has the fastest hands on the team. And I've been saying that. But last night he did it like three or four times.
Jalen Suggs' hands are a little faster.
I don't know. Gary's crazy. Gary, okay, maybe Jalen has the faster. Jalen has the faster hands, but Gary is the least, like more under the radar. I think that Jalen is able to get the things that pop out on a stat sheet. Gary Harris is just able to do a great job defending. Gary had the assignment last night. Not only was he shooting the crap out of the ball, but he also had the assignment of being on Bradley Beal primarily. Bradley Beal last night shoots 4-15 from the field. 16 fouls points out. And 8 of them. And fouls out. He had 16 points and 8 of them came from the free throw line. So hats off to the entire Magic team defending last night, especially on guys like Bradley Beal. But Gary Harris drew that assignment and he was great on the offensive side of the ball. He was awesome last night.
When Bradley Beal fouls out, I was like, yeah, this game's over.
Yeah.
Absolutely over. But let's kind of just go through the game. So first half was kind of back and forth. Washington gets out to an early lead. The Magic come back. The Magic take the lead late in the first quarter. Going into the second quarter, Magic are down 5 with about 4 and some change left to go. The Magic close the half on a 13-5 run, take a nice little 4-point lead rather into the half. Washington Wizards kind of, again, third quarter, a little bit back and forth. The Magic have a lead. Wizards come back at the end of the third to take a 1-point lead into the fourth. And then the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter are kind of back and forth, but the Magic take a 93-91 lead with 9 minutes 54 seconds to go, and they never gave the lead up again. Wizards kind of made some pushes, you know, make it a 4-point game, make it a 3-point game. And then really the last 4 minutes of this game, Magic took over. Paolo Banchero especially with I think it was 6 points in the last minute and 28 seconds of this game to really put it away. Magic were up by as much as 13 late in this game. And yeah, Magic 112-122 win over the Washington Wizards. I woke up yesterday and I was feeling still a little bit optimistic, not about necessarily this season, but just about the future of the team. And I was like, look, we've gotten our butts kicked twice by this Washington Wizards team. If you're the Magic, if you're on the coaching staff, if you're one of the players, until you're mathematically eliminated, like this season should not be over for you. You guys should continue to play hard, should continue to fight. And I said, this now is the biggest game of the year. They have to come out and they have to play well. I wasn't even so much worried about the result, Luke, as I was just the Magic playing well. And to their credit, they did. Defensively, wasn't always great. Again, we talked about Kristaps Porzingis, 30 points, 12-22 from the floor. Daniel Gafford had a pretty solid game as well, 12 points, 6-7 from the floor. Funny thing about Daniel Gafford, I remember the days when Nikola Vucevic would absolutely destroy Daniel Gafford. Like, he legitimately didn't look like an NBA player. And now is like a actually solid NBA player. But yeah, Magic just did what they had to do down the stretch, made plays. Wendell Carter Jr., Markelle Fultz, Paolo Banchero, making plays down the stretch to bring this team to a win. And after getting killed twice by this team earlier in the season, and a team that is ahead of you in the standings, they took care of this team the way that I would have liked to see them take care of Indiana about a month ago. That didn't happen, but to the Magic's credit, they locked in, played the way they needed to play, and came out with a W. It felt good.
You know who stinks? Kendrick Nunn. That guy is awful. Last night, he goes, and I was just looking down the box score, and I remember thinking to myself last night just how frustrated I would be as a Wizards fan with him last night. And I hate when people speak on Magic players like just in absolutes because they don't watch the team. So because I don't watch the Wizards night in and night out, maybe he's better than this. But Kendrick Nunn played 5 minutes last night. He shot 4 times. In no world
the good old Kendrick Dwayne Nunn, Bacon.
Seriously, the Dwayne Bacon special. He in no the world should shoot that many times in 5 minutes unless you're the best player on the team and the number one option. That was frustrating for me to watch.
Very so Deion Waiters-esque.
Yeah, but worse. It just that was tough to watch. It was tough to watch Kendrick Nunn last night. I feel bad for Wizards fans having to watch that game last night and see him chuck up shots and go 1-4 from the field in 5 minutes. So that was my one last piece on the Wizards.
I know we've talked about this dude a ton this season for obvious reasons, but I want to give one more shout out. Not one more, because there will be definitely more. But Paolo Banchero, all this talk about, you know, Jalen Williams all of a sudden is now closing in on Rookie of the Year. And, oh, is the race, you know, not as tight as it once was? And maybe Jalen Williams is Rookie of the Year. Oh, he's more efficient. He's this, he's that. Paolo Banchero in this game, 18 points, 6 of 9 from the floor, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, almost messed around and got a triple-double. Very efficiently, by the way. I'm sure Paolo Banchero is on social media and he sees you all talking. He sees the ridiculous arguments that you were trying to make. Part of me doesn't want to say this, but because I feel like we play the victim, like, oh, we're Orlando. Everybody hates us. Nobody talks about the Magic. If this kid was on any other team, Luke, almost, this isn't happening.
Mm-hmm.
If he's, especially if he's in a big market, this is one of the best storylines all year. The fact that this kid is, this is not hyperbole, he's literally statistically having one of the greatest rookie seasons in the past 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the media already seems bored by Paolo Banchero. This kid does nothing but have 25-5 games as the number one option on this team, seeing double and triple teams on a nightly basis, but it's not good enough. The kid doesn't get talked about on First Take, doesn't get talked about on, you know, FS1 with Skip and Shannon. Doesn't always get talked about on a lot of these podcasts. Very rarely, unless you're having a rookie of the year discussion, not all that often does Paolo Banchero have like his own segment. Like, let's talk about how great Paolo Banchero is in this rookie year that he's having. It's honestly crazy.
Yeah. And I saw something today. Someone said, I think that we're already getting too used to Paolo Banchero. And I know that's true, and I know it's true because talking about the box scores and everything like that, I did very much glaze over Paolo Banchero, and I'm glad you brought light to it because I'm just not surprised. Like, I am not surprised in the slightest. The one thing I am a little surprised at is the 8 assists to two turnovers. He was played so well last night, but it's become very common. And when you have a guy like Jalen Williams, who wasn't doing this all year until just recently, people realize it because there's a spike in production. But if
you have any idea where the Thunder would be right now if you swap Paolo Banchero for Jalen Williams, because in that scenario, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is still the number one option.
Yeah.
Right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are 7th in the Western Conference. They're 36-36. Now, I know they've had a handful of guys who have missed time here and there. I know Shai's missed a little bit of time. But you take Jalen Williams off that team and you put Paolo Banchero in that spot, like, Oklahoma City would be, I'm not even going to use the terminology I was just going to use because a family-friendly show would have been very inappropriate. Would have to change their underwear several times over. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's all I'll say. So I've just had enough of this. Like, I cannot remember a rookie season where a kid, well, first of all, rookies don't put up the kind of numbers that Paolo Banchero is putting up. But I don't remember the last time a rookie was like this dominant and was this like undersold and almost disrespected.
The
Zion year, like, you know, it was him, you know, Ja obviously set the world on fire, kind of like came out of nowhere. But like, this is just crazy to me. Like, for 5 months, it's been Paolo Banchero is running away with Rookie of the Year, which, by the way, if you look at any sports book, Paolo Banchero is still somewhere around like minus 5,000 odds to win Rookie of the Year. Jalen Williams is usually somewhere around plus 2,000 to plus 3,000. Which, from Vegas' perspective, there are 9 games to go, and they are saying that Jalen Williams does not have a chance in hell to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Even with all this stuff going on, I've been checking it, the odds are not tightening.
Yeah. I mean, I like you said, you put Paolo on OKC, where are they, right? Like, I'm looking at the West right now. If they're 7th at 36 wins, the Suns are 4th at 38, just essentially 2 wins better than them, right? Like 2.5, whatever it is. With Paolo Banchero instead of Jalen Williams, the Oklahoma City is 4th in the West right now.
And not like two games up on 7th, 4th. They have 4th by a chokehold.
Yeah, they're gaining ground on like the Kings,
quite frankly, where the Kings are at 43 wins right now. Like,
and let me
right
say
now,
this. Oklahoma I don't State's say 36. This to knock Jalen Williams whatsoever. Jalen Williams is a fantastic player. It's just like, we're happy that you're happy about your guy, but like, let's be real. Like, no other rookie of the year conversation in history has gone the way what we've seen the last 3 weeks, where for 5 months it's one guy. One guy has been playing decent all year and then has a really good month, and now all of a sudden he's rookie of the year. Like, context matters. And these guys, you know, not to call people out, but I will, Sam Vecenie, J.J. Redick, when they're having these discussions, they say, not that I would vote for Jalen Williams, but hey, maybe. Like, no, you wouldn't vote for him because you know he's not rookie of the year. Stop the cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it gives all these people all this runway to be like, Jalen Williams, man, he looks great. It's like, dude, he's averaging like 13 points a game. What are we doing? Paolo Banchero is averaging 20 and doing everything else at a just fine level too, right? Like, you look at Paolo, like, what? Why did we just start looking at it in the last month? Like, why are we doing that? Why are we not taking a bird's eye view at the season and seeing, because it is rookie of the year. I hate to be cliche and use that term and that emphasis, but like, that's what it is. Jalen Williams, 13.5 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists. Paolo Banchero, 20 points a game, 6.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists. Like, counting stats, it is not even a question. Efficiency, absolutely. Jalen Williams has great efficiency right now, but if you were to increase volume, that would not be the case, especially not for a season. He might be doing it for the last month, where he's shooting 53% from the field, or 56% from the field in the last 10, and 45% from three. Again, he's a great player. That's in 8 games, though. If you give him this all season, there is just no way he keeps that up. Like, law of averages says he does not keep that up. And yeah, he's a great player. And I hate that it's turned into, at the very end, like, any type of head-to-head there. Because it's not. Like, they're not in the same stratosphere right now. Jalen Williams is going to be a very great basketball player. I do think that, based on what we have seen in the sample size. I'm just going to need to see it for more than 8 games, more than a month, more than 2 months. We have to see this put together for a season. Paolo's done this all season. And he's the number one option, man. And he's the number one option for a reason. Jalen Williams just isn't. Obviously, SGA is there. But he's not going to ever, at that point, he's not going to get there in his first season and get the kind of looks that Paolo's able to get. You know, there's so much you can say about this argument. There's so many things that have already been said. But yeah, it is ridiculous.
And let's just go into like the month of November, because like, December is where we really saw the shift of teams being like, okay, like, we have to hone in on Paolo Banchero. He needs to be stopped at all costs. As good as Franz Wagner is, Franz Wagner still doesn't see doubles and triple teams on a given night. Like, teams are almost like, okay, we're fine with Franz beating us. We're not going to let Paolo beat us. In 8 games in the month of November, Paolo Banchero scored 22.6 points per game, shot 47% from the floor. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we talking about here? You cannot remove the context of the way that teams are game planning for Paolo Banchero and the attention that they are paying him on a nightly basis. Like, you just cannot do it. The Magic right now, Luke, they're 30-43. The Magic might have 20 wins if you swap out Jalen Williams with Paolo Banchero.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
That's a fact.
It is a fact.
They're not the same. Like go watch the highlights. Like, Jalen Williams is a fine young player. Paolo is different. Like, 6'10", with a bag, able to get his shot whenever he wants it. The level of shot making, it's night and day. I don't see them. Like, people are talking about, like, Jalen Williams, oh, this kid is a potential superstar. I don't see that yet. And I've seen it for almost 6 months now with Paolo Banchero virtually on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have that out of our system?
I think so, until someone else says something stupid, but it'll be nice once that award gets given out and we can just say, there we go, right? Jalen Williams had a good couple months. I hope he has a great career. And I'm glad that, you know, we hopefully won't do this again.
really quickly, I know we spent a ton of time talking about Markelle Fultz on the last episode, but I came across something today that I could not bring up on the podcast. So I remember when we were talking about Markelle's clutch stats versus like Paolo and Franz, it was like night and day. But I wanted to see how Markelle stacked up against other guards in the league. So all guards in the league who have played at least 25 or more games qualifying for clutch minutes, who in those games average 3 or more clutch minutes. So if you're unfamiliar with the way that clutch stats and clutch games are categorized, it is any NBA game where the score is within 5 points, 5 minutes or less to go in the game. So that 5-minute mark, at any point that the deficit becomes 5 or less, it now becomes a clutch game. And I went with 3 or more clutch minutes because that shows me that down the stretch, you are really playing the majority of the clutch minutes for your team. So I don't feel like this is like a cherry-picking stat. This is just really who are the guys playing in a lot of clutch games and who are really playing the clutch minutes for those teams in the clutch games. Markelle Fultz at 63.2% in the clutch is second in the NBA in field goal percentage for guards.
Yeah.
That's checks fantastic.
Out. Checks out. The dude is so good down the stretch. Legitimately get to his spots. Incredible. He's awesome. I was gonna go into something about Cole Anthony and what they talked about on the broadcast and whatever, but talking about mid-range shots. But Markelle has just been great. He's been what we are hoping for, right? Like in crunch time, who you go to, not just the guy you can trust the other, 43 minutes of a game to run your offense and call the shots. But he gets into these zones, man, at the end of the game where he's unstoppable.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he's virtually unstoppable in the clutch.
He can give you anything you want. And he's even shown willingness to shoot threes lately, too. Like, most of the season, right? But, like, people leave him open. He's shooting it. Like, if he can continue to improve in that area, I don't know that he'll ever be a great three-point shooter. I don't think he will be. But if he can just become more and more respectable from the three-point line like he has been, yeah, he can give you anything. You have to guard him out a little bit on the, you have to guard him out in the mid-range, obviously. He can go by you. He's going to use his herky-jerky moves, as David Steele likes to talk about. And he can go by you. He can finish at the rim at a great level. He's awesome.
Sign him to the extension. I know we talked about that on the last pod, and I kind of put that out on Twitter today, but the Magic need to get the extension done. Absolutely have to this summer. Be a mistake not to. And if they didn't, I mean, even if they intend on trading him like next season for whatever reason, like even that, I don't know that I like that at all. You would have to, whoever you draft in this upcoming draft, like you would have to be convinced they were going to be Penny Hardaway with like 38% three-point shooting. Like they would have to just be the next coming of Steph, I guess, is what I would have to say. But feels like Markelle's going to be around a while. And I'm not mad at that particularly.
No, he's always showing love to the Magic, whether it's on social media, wherever it is. You just can tell that there's a trust, a bond with the organization. And as we've talked about before, Magic showed so much patience, getting him to where he is now. You'd be dumb to throw it away. So yeah, like you said, give the man what he wants. Not too much, but give him what he wants in a respectable amount. Keep the
20 mil a year, 3 years, $60 million, or 4 years, right? $80 million, last year being a team option. I think that's fair for everybody.
Yeah.
So don't forget, folks, every day following Orlando Magic victories, you can get 50% off your online order from Papa John's with code MAGICWIN. Be sure to take advantage of that. Luke, let's talk a little bit of a tankathon here. So earlier,
love that.
actually, while I was recording with Andrew Claudio from Nick's Film School, we were talking about the draft, and he was looking at odds. So I pulled up Tankathon, and I ran a Tankathon, and I cannot rerun. You can only do Tankathon once a day, and you got to live with the results. The Magic with the first and 10th pick. That's like three out of like five or six times that I've run the Tankathon this year. The Magic have ended up with the number one overall pick. I'm not saying it's anything, but it's certainly something.
I have a problem now. I'm looking at Tankathon, and I'm looking at just where the Magic are right now. They are slotted at number five for the fifth pick. And Portland's got, you know, one more win than you right now. Washington has two. Indiana has two. At some point, I hope it doesn't come to this, but the Magic could find themselves with like a 6.8% chance at that number one pick instead of a 10.5. I'm getting a little nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I am getting a tad nervous.
Just look at the schedule for the rest of the year. Just do yourself a favor. Look at the schedule the rest of the way. All teams that need to win games, all teams with better records than us, all teams above us in the standings. There's not that much to be nervous about.
I understand. But if this team does something that we don't expect, such as just rip off some wins and end the season on a high note because they're motivated to do so and whatever, I don't know, man. Yeah, but like you said, you've only got...
We know John and Jeff a little bit better than that.
That's true. Jalen might be out with his concussion for the rest of the year.
I think that's probably a little bit egregious, but the last four or five games, that ankle's bothering you a little bit? Oh, mm-hmm. Wendell, how's your foot doing? Oh, mm-hmm. How's that wrist? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not feeling so well?
That's right. You got a cough? You got a little cough? And they're like, no, I don't. And they're like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Do you want that extension? Yes, you do. You have a cough.
Yeah. 10 and 1, I can certainly deal with. Again, 10% chance, I'm good with that. Even if you're, 9. Now, yeah, if we start getting down to, 6.8, 6.7%, I certainly don't like that as much. Yeah. Portland, they're basically eliminated. We still have to worry, I guess, about Washington because they've been playing like absolute dog crap. Yep. Indiana as well, but Washington, Indiana still sitting there 2.5 games back of the play-in. Chicago, the last that we checked here, we're getting absolutely manhandled tonight. I go to look at the scores. Yeah, they're down by 19 midway through the second quarter. They started that game down, 17-0.
Yeah.
So looks like they're probably going to lose. Philadelphia needs that game. The Pacers are up 9 on the Raptors midway through the third. The Wizards are down by 10 to the Nuggets. That game is probably over. They're probably going to lose that game, Wizards, on the second night of a back-to-back. The Trailblazers play the Jazz tonight. That game could probably go either way. But yeah, we're going to be scoreboard watching the rest of the way here. We're going to be Tankathon watching the rest of the way here. But, Magic are gonna be just fine. It was 1993. What did the Magic have? Like a 1% chance of ending up with the number one overall pick? And sure enough, ended up with the number one overall pick. I don't know if it was 1%. Maybe it was like 4%. It was a single-digit percent of them ending up with the number one overall pick in 1993, and they used that pick.
1.52%.
There you go. So the year after they drafted Shaq, 1.52% chance of getting the number one overall pick, and sure enough, they got it. So maybe history repeats itself. Anything is possible,
except for that Chicago pick getting in the top four. We don't want that. We don't want that to be possible.
Yeah, that's becoming less likely as well. Right now, they have a 20% chance of that pick ending up in the top four. So 80% chance roughly that you'll keep that pick.
They got a better chance at the top four than we do the number one pick by double. So,
well, when you put it that way, whatever. To close out the week again, the Knicks at home on Thursday as you guys are listening to this. And then we've got Brooklyn at home Sunday. That game is going to tip off at 6 o'clock. Anything else, Luke? I think that is going to wrap this one.
No, I think that's about it. I will be at the Knicks game tonight. So if you see me, say hey. Would love to talk to you guys. I'll be there. So hopefully we can drown out the Knicks fans in the best way. Most effective way. I don't know what it might be. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you shut those guys up.
Blowing them out. Winning. That's the only way. Yeah.
Winning. So we would like to do that. And see y'all there.
All right, let's wrap it. For Luke Sylvia, this has been Jonathan Osborne. You guys are listening to the Six Man Show, and we will catch you guys next time. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Show. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and Spotify to get new episodes downloaded directly to your phone. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to give us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a lot. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Sixth Man Show. We'll catch you guys next time. Go Magic!
Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic! Let's go Magic!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.